Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Daled Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Ein mitnavim log shnayim v'chamisha. One is not allowed to donate with regards to nisachim. As you can see in Rashi, we're speaking about yayin l'nisko, speaking about donating yayin to the mikdash, independent of bringing it with a nesach. A korban that requires nisachim has a minchat nesach that comes with it, which includes solat and shemen. And then, independently, it also requires nischei yayin that come along with the korban. But those are connected directly to a korban, and they're sized up in the Torah, in Parshat Shlach, with regards to the Parshat HaNisachim. The ability to then bring it separately, we know that you can bring a mincha separately, which is a mincha is comprised of solat and shemen. Now, here the Mishnah is addressing the ability to bring yayin separately as an independent nidavah. Now it says here that in bringing it as a nidava, there are certain measures that you can't bring. You can't bring a single loaf, you can't bring two loaves, and you can't bring five loaves. The reason is because of what the Mishnah says, what you can't bring. Aval, mitnadvim, you are allowed to bring shlosha, v'arba'a, v'shisha. Three, four, and six. Umishisha u'namalo, and then six and above. The reason that three, four, and six are acceptable is because those are the niskayayin for the different korbanot. The keves comes with a revi'ita hin. A hin is 12 lob. Revi'ita hin is 3 lob. An ayol comes with a shlishita hin. A hin again, 12. A third of 12 is 4 lob. And the par comes with a chatziah hin, which is 6 lob. We have paradigms of 3, 4, and 6 in the Torah. And for that reason, you can bring 3, 4, and 6. Then a 6 and above, all you do is create combinations that are permutations of these different numbers. So for instance, if you bring 7, that's the equivalent to 3 and 4, the equivalent of a keves and an aisle. You bring 8, that's the equivalent of bringing 2 aisles, arba and arba. You bring 9, then that's the equivalent of bringing a keves and a par, 3 and 6. So on and so forth, you can, through the numbers, see by the yesh kevel and nisachim, oin kevel and nisachim. When one donates, or is mitnadev, yayin lemidash, is there a keva, meaning that the number that you're setting out is a fixed number, or is the number that you're setting out, can it be broken down into component parts? Hey chidami, what is the situation? Kagon, da'aiti chamisha. He brings 5 log to the migdash. Now 5 log is one of the illegal numbers that we mentioned in the Mishnah, because 5 has no paradigm. It sits between the 4 and the 6. It's a number that we don't have a precedent for. Iyamart in kevel nisachim. If you say there's no fixed number for nisachim, mashik umakriv arba'a minayu. If you say that when you donate 5, it's not a fixed unit of 5 that you're donating, rather a sum of the parts that include 5 login altogether, then you can split it up and be makriv 4, the chazidayo, and then v'idach havi nidava. And then the remainder will be a nidava. It means that you will use it for korbanei olah, mutar nisachim, leftover nisachim, and then it will be converted or used towards an olah. V'iyamart yesh kevel nisachim. On the other hand, if you think that the number that you donate is a unit, a singular unit that can't be broken apart, ademailehu lo karve. Until you then supplement it till it reaches 6, you won't be able to bring it. Question is, how do we look at the number 5? Is 5 exactly what it means? 5. And 5 is an illegal number. There's nothing to do with it. And therefore, you need to supplement to get it to 6 in order to make it a viable korban. Or do we say that 5 is really comprised of smaller components, like 4. And then there's additional leftover. And that leftover, like any motara korban, will be donated as an olah or brought as an olah in the mikdash. We have many examples of that with regards to korbanot, where you have too much money, or you have a leftover korban, that leftover item then is turned into motar nidava. We've seen that a number of times, especially in the Mishnayot and Shkalim, which we're going to bump into again here, this idea that excesses of korbanot are then put into the shofarot in the mikdash, and then used for korbanei olah. Mai, what's the din here with regards to nisachim? The Grizz notes over here that the question of the Gemara is only with regards to Nisachim and not with regards to the Isaron of a Mincha. You could have said the same thing by Nisaron v'chetzi of a Mincha. Do you say Keva and then we force you to upgrade it to 2? Or do we say, Isaron v'chetze, you take the Isaron, and then the chetze becomes mutar? Why does the Gemara not address that, and only addresses it with regard to Nisachim? So the Griz suggests that there's a fundamental difference between Nisachim and Mincha. For by the Mincha, the Isaron is the defining factor in the Mincha. A Minchat Isaron, or Minchat of Shnei Asronot, that defines the Mincha, and therefore, if you have an Isaron v'chetzi, you can't break it down into Isaron and Chetzi. It needs to be a complete unit, that is the Esronot, and therefore the only option is to bring two in that case. Whereas by the Nischei Ayayin, the number or the volume is not the definition of the Nesech, rather just a guide as to what type of Nesech it is. So he differentiates in that manner to then explain the difference between why the Gemara asks the question by Nisachim, it doesn't ask that question by Menachot. So, Amar Abaye Tashma. Let us look at the Mishnah in Shkalim. Shisha Linidava. There's six shofarot in the Mikdash that were for the motar of Korbanot, that then were converted into Nidavot, Olot, that are put on the Mizbeach when the Mizbeach is idle, what the other night is known as Kayetz or Ketza Mizbeach. V'aminyan Keneged Mi. What are these six shofarot for? And the Mishnah says, Keneged, these are the reasons for the six shofarot. The first of which is Motar Chatat, extra or excess monies that were put towards a Chatat. For instance, if you segregated out monies for your Chatat, and the cost of the Chatat was below the amount of money that you segregated, that excess money was called Motar Chatat. That excess amount is put into the shofar, and then they utilize it towards Nidvot HaTzibur, which are Olot that are going to be put on Mizbeach. Umotar HaShemot, an additional shofar had written on it, Motar HaShemot. Again, if you had excess monies left over from a Kurban HaSham, then that would be placed into there. Or an HaSham that was put out to graze, where it was an excess HaSham, and then the monies garnered from monetizing that HaSham also go to Motar HaShemot. Umotar HaShem Nazir, Umotar Asham Mitzora. Now here it's interesting because you already had Motar Ashamot. Yet separately or segregated is an Asham Nazir and Asham Mitzora. Again, the excess money surrounding these. And as Rashi notes of here, the reason being that you would segregate those out is because they're not similar to the other Ashamot. Because the Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzora are Matirin rather than coming for Chet. Katat and Asham are brought on a Chet. The Asham Nazir and the Asham Mitzora are facilitators. For the Mitzorah is what's matir him to come back into the Machaneh. That's what allows him to return to the Machaneh, to become a normal person again and not be segregated from the community. And by the Asham Nazir, Rashi says it's Lahatiro B'Yayin, which is incorrect, as Rabbi Kiv Eger points out, because the Asham Nazir is only brought for someone who became Tameh. A Nazir Tameh brings an Asham Nazir, and what it's matir is your ability to do Nazirot B'Tahara. It doesn't allow you to drink wine. Maybe in the long term it will, but right now all it does is allow you to do it in the Zirut B'Tahara. But both of those are Matirim, and therefore they have different purposes, and therefore they're segregated from the other Ashamot. Mutar Kinin, Umatar Minachat Chuteh. And then the other two are the leftovers from Kinim. Kinim are bird korbanot, where someone's obligated to bring birds for whatever reason, like a Yoledet, a Zav, a Zava. They have to bring birds, then the excess monies from that are placed into Motar Kinim. And Motar Minchat Choteh is for someone who had excess money when they were purchasing the Minchat Choteh, which is the Korban Olev Yoreid Verek Hei in Vayikra, associated with Shvat Bitui, Shvat Eidut, and Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav. So those Korbanei Olev Yoreid, the highest form is a Kizbah, which is a Chatat. That would be Motar Chatat if you had leftovers from there. The middle range are birds. So that would be Motar Kinin. And then the lowest range is the Minchat Choteh, and that's what this is speaking about, the leftovers from that. So those are the six shofarot that are available for excesses. V'imita, if you're right, that when it comes to Nisachim, you say that it's a break, you can break the number down into component parts of four, and then one being excess, litkan shofar achrina keneged Motar Nisachim. Where's the shofar for the excesses of the Nisachim? Meaning that, if it is really true that you can have a nesach that's comprised of something that is paradigmatic in number, plus whatever excess, then that excess goes to the Korbanei Olah. If that is true, then there should have been a shofar that allows you to put those excess monies in and then be brought as an olot. Where it says, not necessarily. Hanach, the nidvat tzibur azle. So number one, these go towards the tzibur. Hane, shchiche. These are much more common. Efshar, demitztarfe demar udemar bahadea dodi, fikarve. And therefore you could aggregate them and then bring them as a korban. What the Gemara is pointing out is that there's a difference in the nature of the excess monies that are associated with, say, chatat, ashamot, that are put into the shofarot. Those are used towards the korbanei tzibur. They're used for the olot of the tzibur. So first of all, when you have excess monies, it's unlikely that you're going to have the capacity to bring an olah with those excess monies. You need to aggregate the monies of numerous individuals in order to get to the cost of an olah. That's number one. Number two is, the olah is not always something you need. The nidvat tzibur is only when the mizbeach is idle, and you don't have anything else or other nidvot tzibur that are being brought at that time. Then you use these monies and purchase nidvat tzibur. For those reasons, first of all, you need the aggregation of the monies to pay for the korban, plus the korbanot are not brought every single day or not used every day. So the best way to deal with it is to put it into the shofarot, and that way we can aggregate the monies, and then use them when we need to use them, we'll take the monies out from the shofarot. On the other hand, hane shkiche, when it comes to nisachim, that is something that is very common, something that comes up in the Mikdash on a daily basis. So the motarot that are going to nidvat tzibur have their own category, but the nisachim, they don't need a shofar because they are frequent every day. Rove of the korbanot need nisachim, and therefore excesses of nisachim can be used immediately. Number one, because they're so frequent, and number two is because you can aggregate them on the spot and then bring them, which means that if someone has excess nisachim, they can then bring it, and the tzibur will either utilize it, because we have korbanot that are brought every day that need nisachim, and they can use towards those nisachim, or, even if we don't have that, say there are other people with excess nisachim, we can just aggregate them, and bring them either as a nidava, a nesach nidava, or use them for the korbanot ha-tzibur. So both given the frequency, as well as the ability to aggregate them quickly, we don't have to have a shofar for it. They can just utilize them very quickly and right away. And so because of that, they didn't need a shofar. And that then doesn't prove to you whether this is a method or this is not a method to break down the nisachim. We thought the absence of a shofar shows that we don't have motar nisachim. Gemara is saying that's not true. The absence of a shofar is just because practically you didn't need a shofar for motar nisachim. And therefore, you don't have any evidence as to which way we should go when you have a nesech that's donated that is comprised of five logim. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Amarova, Tashma, Ezrach. The word Ezrach, which was unnecessary to be written by the Parshiyata Nisachim and Parshat Shlach, Melamei Shemit Nadvim Nisachim. From here you see that you can donate Nisachim. So in the Pasuk when it says, Kol HaEzrach Yaseh Kacha, that Ezrach comes to teach you that not only are the nisachim brought along with the korbanot, but also you're afforded the opportunity to bring them independently and to donate them independently. Vikama, what can you bring, or what are the paradigmatic sizes that you can bring? Shloshe lugim, three log. Uminaim shematzalo sif yosif. How do I know if you want to add on to three, you can add on to it? Tamalomar, iye. It's not clear where the word iye comes up. Rashi over here brings two possibilities as to what the word iye is. One is chatzi ayin iye lapar, which is found by the korbanei musaf in Parshat Pinchas, that is teaching you chatzi iye lapar mashma, that there's a possibility of having a different mincha. And the fact that it has to tell you that the chatzi ayin is for the par tells you that there's another chatzi ayin that's not for the par. Or in that sense, that means that there could be an independent nesech that's not necessarily connected to the par. That's one way Rashi brings it. The second Lishnachrina, which would make more sense, is in the Parshiyat Shlach. It also has the word Iye, where it says, Akahal chukachat lachem, v'lager agar chukat olam l'dor techem, kachem kager Iye, lifnei Hashem. So that Iye would be the excess Iye. The problem is, contextually, that has nothing to do with numbers over there. It doesn't give any indication that it can't be something beyond the three. So each one has its benefit and deficit. But Rashi is, again, they're searching for where the word yeah that the Gemara is relying on. Yocho yifchot, you would think maybe you could bring less. Tamalomar kacha. That was called, as Rashi said, kacha. Kacha means like this, and no less. My Yosef. What does it mean that you can add on? The threshold that Rava says based on this breita that we're bringing over here is that 3 is the minimum. Below 3 is not allowed. But if you want to add on above 3, go ahead. But that seems to indicate any number above 3 would be fine. And that's what the Gemara says. My Yosef. What does it mean you can add on? Ilema arba b'shisha. If you're telling me that Yosef means you can do 4 and 6, my shna shlosha, the chazu de keves, arba b'shisha, nami chazu de ayo v'par. Why did you pick 3 as a number that you can bring as a voluntary offering? Because there's a paradigm of 3, which is what you bring with a keves. So just like you can say that by the keves, you can say that about the ayo, you can say that about the par. You don't need a special ribui in the pasuk to teach you that you can be, no day, something more than 3, which is 4 and 6. Because just like 3 you learn from the psukim, the same way you learn 3, you can learn out 4 and 6. They all fit in the psukim there. Elav, what does it mean? Chamisha, which is against our Mishnah. And it seems that you could bring a 5-log unit. Vishmamina. From this you would conclude, Ein kevel nisachim, shmamina, that there is no kevel nisachim. Bringing 5, there's no way that you can bring 5. 5 isn't a number that is allowed based on the paradigmatic numbers that we have. So that means that 5 has 2 choices about it. We either said 5 means you have to add on 1 and make it into 6, or 5 means I bring 4 and there's 1 left over. What the Bright is clearly telling you is if you want to add on to 3, it's fine. That means that when you bring 5, you're going to bring 4 and leave 1 over. It's not telling you you have to add 1 on. It's just telling you that 5 works, and the only way 5 is going to work is if you break it into 4 and 1. So here we have an answer to our question, Ein kevel nisachim. Now what's interesting then is that our Mishnah and the Braita, in order to reconcile them, you'll have to have a dochak reading of our Mishnah. So now you'll see that Ravashi is going to raise that as a question, which is Amar Ravashi, v'anan lo tnan hochi. Our Mishnah doesn't say that. Emit navim log shnayim v'chamisha tani. Our Mishnah says you can't bring 1, 2, and 5. Chamisha dumya dishnayim. 5 like 2. Mashnayim delo chazu klal. Just like 1 and 2 are not allowed at all. Af chamisha nami delo chazu klal. So 2, 5 should be that it's not allowed at all. It says, Midairia. Why do you have to say that? Hadakidita vakadita. Each unit based on what's true about it. The 1 and 2 are disqualified completely. Number 5, it shouldn't be brought, but if it is brought, then this is what happens. And what they're answering to Ravashi's query is the fact that the Chamishan, our Mishnah, versus the Braita, you're going to have to read it this way. When the Mishnah says, Ain, that you can't bring 1 and 2, that means completely disqualified. 1 and 2 are no good. Period. Whereas chamisha is going to be lakatchila, you shouldn't bring 5. Bidiavad, if you did bring 5, then it's going to be comprised of 4 and 1, meaning 4 that will go on the mizbeach and 1 that will be motar that's going to be left over. It's a dochak reading of the Mishnah, but that's the only way to reconcile with the Braita, as Ravashi raises that issue. And now we've seemingly dismissed Ravashi's problem with the explanation of Rava. And therefore, we've concluded, Ein kevel nisachim. There is no fixed numbers for nisachim. And if you bring a number that doesn't break down into the component parts of multiple nisachim, then whatever excess is left over is going to go to what's called mutar nisachim, which the Gemara already told us can be aggregated and then used with other nisachim or put together with a korbanoi hatzibur, if you have other needs for the nisachim. Tosfot asked you a question, which is, what's the difference between 1 and 2 and 5? Why does the Gemara assume by 5 that you have 2 choices? Either 4 and 1, or we're going to force you to bring it up to 6. Okay, so by 1 and 2, you don't have the option of saying 1 or 2, break it down, because there's nothing there to break down. But why don't we then say, force him to bring 3? If he says 1 or 2, tell him you got to add on and bring it as 3. Why don't we say it's disqualified completely to 1 and 2? That's what Tosfot asks. Hakanami name a kiyamar logo shnaim yavish losha. Why not bring shem niskei keves? V'chiyamar chamisha yavish shisha shem niskei par. Why don't we say that with the 1 and 2? He says, v'shem hakanami echidamar hare alai. That may be true when he says hare alai. Aval hachi mairi benidava. He says, maybe there's a difference between a personal obligation versus a dedication of a particular unit or item to the Mikdash. He says, if you have a log sitting in front of you and say, Tarizu Nidava, the Yeshlo Khadashnaim Lefanav, or Marhelu Nisachim, those don't work at all because he's dedicating a particular item. But if he said Hare Alai to bring a log or to bring Shnei Logim, which is impossible, maybe we would interpret his nether then to obligate him to bring three. Tosfot says, Ein Hochanami, that we might force you to upgrade to three when you take a personal obligation. But when you're dedicating particular units, then we can't force you to up the unit numbers because the units are what they are. Ugmara gabayish kevel nesachim perish bakuntris. Kon damar hare alai kach v'kach lugim le nidava. That's a case where he says, I am taking upon myself this and this many lugim le nidava. So that would somewhat undermine the distinction that Tosfot is making. Amar Abaye. So Abaye does something interesting here. The Gemara seems to be an open and shut case, which is Ein Kevel Nisachim. That seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. Then all of a sudden you have this strange statement by Abaye, which is Amar Abaye. Im Tim Salomar Ein Kevel Nisachim. If you hold Ein Kevel Nisachim, ha Ein Kevel Nisachim, then there's no Kevel Nisachim. Now first of all, the fact that Abaye even phrases it that way means that he still has a Safek. And that's what the Balei Tosafot point out. He thinks that Ravashi's question wasn't answered properly or strongly enough, and therefore he remains bisafek about this. He doesn't agree with Rava, and he opens up this safek that has ramifications because the way that the Rambam actually paskins yesh kevel nisachim. And that might be because the Rambam is relying on Abaye's question over here, like the Balei Tosafot note, that Abaye is basically saying, I'm uncertain because of a Rav Ashi as to the conclusion with regards to Rava's statement. And that means that the question of Keva and Ein Keva is reopened. If you say there's no fixed number for Nisachim, then we break it down into the parts that we need. And if there's any leftover, it becomes Motor Nisachim. Im Tim Salomar Yesh Keva Nisachim, if you want to say there is Keva Nisachim, Ad Asara Pshitali. Up until 10 is very straightforward for me. Echadasar mibayetli. But once I hit 11, then I run into a problem. So he says, until 10, it's very straightforward. The reason being is that up till 10, you either have one or two numbers that you have to add together. We went through the numbers before, but 3, 4, and 6 are the core korbanot themselves. Those are the numbers that we know from the keves, the ayil, and the par. Once you go over 6, then you combine 2. 7 is a keves and an ayo. 8 are 2 elim. 9 is a par and a keves. And then 10 is par and an ayo. So up until 10, you either have 1 or 2 combined to get you to your numbers. 11, for the first time, opens up the possibility of 2 permutations to get to 11. You could either use 2 or you could use 3 to get there. Which means that you could either use 2 par, which would get you to 12, and you'd be over the number 11. Or you could break it down into 3, and then match up to the 11. Which is then you could bring 2 Elim and 1 Keves, which would get you to 11. So now the question of Keva ben Nisachim comes out again. Meaning that until that number, he says, even with Keva ben Nisachim, I understand how you break down the numbers. Leaving out the number 5, I understand how you do it. Once you get to 11, you have the same question. What did the person have in mind? My gavra l'shnei parim kamikavein? He had in mind to bring 2 parim. V'adem amaleu lo karve. And we're going to force him to add on another log and bring 2 parim. Is that why he said 11? Again, it's simpler to understand why you'd want to bring a combination of 2 versus a comprising it of 3 different nisachim. Odelma l'shnei elim v'keves echad kamikavein. Or does he mean these 3 different units and puts them together? Trei mechad mina v'chad mechad mina. 2 from one type and 1 from the other type. Amrina, do we say that? Do we say people think in those manners alone? Or people don't think that way? My, what's the din? Teku. We leave this as unresolved. So what Abaye is pointing out is, if you believe there's Keva l'nisachim, by 5, it's obvious that you have to bump up to 6. Because there's nothing to do with 5 besides bump it up to 6. On the other hand, when you're at 11, you have 2 choices about what the person's thinking. Are they thinking 2 parim? And then we're going to force you to bump up to 12. Or is the person thinking 2 elim and a keves? Question is, do people think that way? all the other cases that we brought, all you needed were two different types of nesachim. You add them together and you get to your number. So people think in that manner, which is, I'm going to have a combination of this and this, and that's fine. Do people think about a case of, I'm going to have a combination of this and this, plus this other one too? Do people think in that way? Or they think much more simply, and they're saying, I'm going to get to two parim. So that's his question with regards to the Keva Benisachim. And the Balei Tosafot say, how come we don't ask that question with regards to Vim Tomar Shiva Nami? Why don't you say by the number seven, you have the same question? Because did he mean that he wanted two Elim, which would be eight? Or do we say that he really means an Ayel and a Keves? So there, Tosafot says, Vishlamar, Talomi Baile, betrayed Mechad Mina, Mechad Mechad Mina. That the Gemara only asks the question when it's two of one type, and then one of another type. E Amarolo, Avo Pshita, Dechad Mechad Mina, Mechad Mechad Mina, Amrina. One from this type, one from that type, that we're okay with. Basically, he's saying, a combination of two, we're okay with, no matter how you get to that combination. Whether it's two different types, or it's two of the same type, that we're comfortable with, and that people think in that way. Once you get up to more complicated permutations, what is the way that a person's thinking? Do they think just simply, I want two parim, and he got the number wrong, he got 11 instead of 12? Or is he thinking two elim and a keves? Do people think in those complicated manners, which means, I'm going to bring two elim plus a keves, which means that not only am I have two of one type, I'm having one of another type. So that's the nature of the question, and he leaves it as a teiku. Over here, the Bamba Paskin's the kula over here, which is that we say that he had in mind for the three, and he doesn't have to add on one to get to 12, even though the Gemara leaves it as a teiku. Generally, when you leave something as a teiku, that means that we go to Chumrah, because we don't know what the loch is, and we go to Chumrah. If you go to the Chumrah over here, we'd force him to bring an additional loaf and then make it up into 12. We do not do that, and we say that it's comprised of three component parts, and that's how he brings it. Now, that might have to do or be influenced by the fact that Abaye's question is premised on the fact that there is a safek in whether there's kevel and nisachim or ain't kevel and nisachim. But if you say that ain't kevel and nisachim, he said in the beginning, Imtim Salomar, if you say ain't kevel and nisachim, there's no question here. Ain't kevel and nisachim, you can break it down any way you want. And therefore, if you break it down into four, four, and three, that's totally fine. That works. So maybe the reason the Rambam is passing the kula, the Gabe Abaye, is because he thinks Abaye's question doesn't get off the ground because we paskin in kevel and nisachim. Abaye's question is based on his own suffix as to how to paskin over here. So what the Rambam could be saying is that Abaye's suffix is built on a premise that there is kevel and nisachim or a possibility of kevel and nisachim. We paskin in kevel and nisachim. If you extrapolate that forward, then Abaye's question falls by the wayside. And the taker, you don't have to go to Chumrah, you can go to Kula because ain't kevel and nisachim. The only problem with that explanation is that the Rambam himself paskins, yesh kevel and nisachim. So if that's the case, you have to come up with another reason for the Rambam, and there are those that point to a sifrei that has a different view with regards to keva and ain't kevel and nisachim with regards to numbers, but then that might present a problem in defining kevel and nisachim in general, but some cite that as the source for the Rambam. Next Mishnah, mitnadvim yayin, ve'ein mitnadvim shemen. One is allowed to donate wine separately, but not shemen separately, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon omer, mitnadvim shemen, you can't bring shemen independently. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, mematzinu bin yayin, shubachoba ubanitava. Just like yayin comes as part of nisachim, there are obligations of a korban, and it comes independently, you can donate it. That was the previous Mishnah that we discussed, from the riboy of Ezrach. Av shemen, shubachoba ubanitava. So to shemen that comes as a chovah, an obligatory part of the minchat nisachim, so too it could come as a nidava, as an independent donation. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, lo, why that logic doesn't really stand up, because im amart v'yayin shken karev im chovato b'fnei atzmo. The manifestation of yayin in the nisachim is still an independent item. When you have to bring nisachim to the korban, you have a minchat nisachim, which is comprised of solat and shemen together. And then you have yayin, which is separate from that. So even when you bring it as a chovah, the yayin stands independently. So that makes sense that then you could segregate it out to bring it as a nedavah. Tomar b'shemen, sheinu karev im chovato. If not small, would you say the same thing when it comes to the shemen, that it is only brought together with solat in the Minchat Nisachim. It's not independently brought, but only together with the Solit. So therefore, it should also not have then the ability to be brought independently as a Nidava. That same logic would then preclude Solit from being brought independently because of the fact that you see here that just like Shemen is not independent, so too Solit is not independent. But the truth is that maybe even Rabbi Tarfon will agree by Solit, because bringing Solit is basically bringing a Mincha. And the Torah already prescribed the Minchot Nidava that you can bring, and they all include Shemen with them. So to say that you can bring Solit without Shemen seems to go against the Torah's prescription by Solit. By Shemen and Yayin, there's no prescription. They come from the Ribui, and therefore maybe there is a reason to segregate them out, allow you to bring them separately. By Solit, there's already prescriptive instructions that tell you how to do it. You can't then make up your own Solit and bring it independently. That's one thing. The second thing is that in the Gemara in Zvachim, Tzadi Aleph Amud Bet, says that the reason Rabbi Tarfon says you can bring Shemen independently is because of a riboy from the Psukim by the Mincha. So why over here does he say it's a Mem Matzino, and over there he says it's a riboy from the Psukim? And this would have huge nafkamino as to what your source is. If your source is Yayin, then you would treat it like Yayin. If your source is Mincha, then you would treat it like a Mincha. The key difference between them, Yayin is poured down the Seifel entirely. There's no Kometz taken off of it because Yayin is a liquid and you can't take a Kometz off a liquid. Therefore, it's poured with its entirety down the piping on the Mizbeach. Shemen, which one is the paradigm for Shemen? If you say the source for Shemen is the Mem Matzino from Yayin, then you would do the same thing with Shemen. You'd pour the whole thing down the piping on the Mizbeach. Now then, if you think it's learned from the Mincha, then you would take a Kometz off of the Shemen, put the Kometz on his back, and the remainder would go to the Kohanim, just like a Mincha does. Rashi and the Ktav Yad and the Tosfot back on Ayin Dalet Amud Bet tell us that the reason why Yayin doesn't have a Kmitzah is because it's a liquid and you can't take a Kmitzah off of it. The Rishonim seem to indicate that it would be plausible to take a Kometz off Shemen because of its viscosity versus Yayin, and that would be possible to do that in the palm of the hand. I think the Tosfot Yom Tov says that for that reason they had to make a kli that was the size of a kometz to take off the shemen, although the Rashash does not like that because he says everywhere we see in the Gemara, kometz means kometz biyad, and we don't allow you to use a kli. Therefore he says you have to do it biyad. So that is a machloket achronim as to how they dealt with the kometz of the shemen. But your source for the fact that you can bring shemen independently will influence what you think you do with the shemen when you put it on the mizbeach. So it's interesting that over here he brought it as a Mem Matzino, and the Gemara in Zvachim, they have an actual riboy from the Psukim. From Rabbi Tarfon's statements, it seems that it's pretty clear that he believes that you take off a Kometz and the remainder goes to the Kohanim, which means that the main source is the source in the Gemara in Zvachim, but it might be that the Mem Matzino leads us to believe that that drosha is a good drosha. It's again an issue that we discussed many times, in terms of Drashot HaGemara, which is, did they know the halacha and they're looking for a drasha? They have a drasha, they're trying to apply something and know what it is that the drasha is referencing to. And the truth is, it might be a mix of both, that they had certain pieces of information that they're trying to put together. So the Mem Matzino might help or influence you then to say that the drasha by the Mincha that has the words there, Korban and Mincha, are ribuim to tell you that Shemen is also included. That might be precipitated by the Mem Matzino. The Mem Matzino might convince you to say, look, we have a precedent by Yayin, let's do the same thing by Shemen, and it makes sense then to use those extraneous words by the Mincha to include Shemen independently. So that might be that they are symbiotic, the Mem Matzino and the Drosha, because the Mem Matzino tells you that the Drosha makes sense to make. That might be an explanation of Rabbi Tarfon. Or the Sfat Emet just simply says that this was his response to Rabbi Akiva, but it's not the real source of his position. The other thing is that Rabbi Akiva's response to Rabbi Tarfon is not entirely true. He says that the paradigm by Shemen is that it's always mixed with Solit. We do have a case where Shemen is brought independently, and that's by the Log HaShemen HaMitzorah. The Log Shemen HaMitzorah is brought independently, along with his Korban HaSham. They take the Shemen, they sprinkle it towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. They put some of it on his thumb, his toes, and his ear, along with the Dam HaSham, and the remainder goes to the Kohanim. So we do have a Chovah by Shemen that's independent. So what is Rabbi Akiva saying over here? We don't find any Shemen that's Karev independently. The key word might be here, Karev. which is that the shemen that's brought by the mitzorah is not put on the mizbeach, it's not karev. It is something that is used in a tekes, as part of a ceremony with the mitzorah and has sprinklings towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but nothing of that ends up on the mizbeach whatsoever. And it's clear that by a nidavah, the point of the nidavah is to get some of it to Hashem or donate it to Hashem, and therefore we're talking about karev al mizbeach. And so therefore Rabbi Akiva's words that we don't find shemen karev independently still remains true, even given lok shemen mitzorah. Ein shtayim mitnadvim esaron echad. Partners cannot donate a single isaron. A isaron would be a mincha. Or in essence, a mincha cannot be comprised of partnership of owners. Aval mitnadvim olau shlamim ba'of. When it comes to korbanot of animals and birds, afilu preidachat, even if you're speaking about a single bird, there you can have partners that come and jointly bring the korban. So with korbanot of animals, you can have joint korbanot, partnerships that bring the korbanot. By mincha, it's only individuals that can bring the mincha. Amar Rava, midivrei shnehem nilmod, from both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon's positions, we can learn, v'nadev adam minchat nesachim b'chol yom, that you can bring a minchat nesachim every day. If you think about all the nesachim, you have yayin, which everybody agrees you can bring independently as a nidavah. You have shemen, we have the machloki between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. We have solet, which you already indicated you can't bring independently. But what happens if you bring the shemen and the solet together? Rabbi Akiva's complaint about Rabbi Tarfon's position is that you're trying to bring the shemen separate from the solet. But if you were to bring the shemen and solet together, it seems like Rabbi Akiva would agree that that's a fine donation. That means that you can voluntarily bring a minchat nesachim. Minchat nesachim is different than the minchat nedavot that we know from the beginning of Vayikra, because a minchat nedavah is a kometz taken off of it that's put on the mizbeach, and the remainder goes to the kohanim. A minchat nesachim is kalil, entirely goes on the mizbeach to Hashem. So the point is that you could donate this type of mincha, which would go kalil Hashem on the mizbeach. So that's what Rava is pointing out. Gemara says, pshita, why would you think otherwise? What indications do you have that there would be any dissenting opinion to that? Or there's any reason to believe that you can't do that? Maybe you'd have to say that the Torah, again, is prescriptive in nature with regards to minachot. It tells you, here are the five minachot nidava that you would bring. That's five, and no more than five. Minchat nesachim adds a new category. It's number six. That the Torah doesn't note. So maybe that wouldn't work. Kamash malan, ani mile bistama. That's only true if you do not articulate. Aval heke the parish, parish. If you do articulate, then it does work. Or in essence, what Rava's Kiddush is there is a sixth minchat nedava, but it depends how you phrase it. If a person says, hari alai mincha, I'm responsible to bring a mincha, then you only have five choices. You have the five choices that are brought in Vayikra Bet. Those are the five minachot nidava that you could bring. On the other hand, if a person says, Arei alai minchat nesachim, you have the capacity or the ability to bring that minchat nesachim. So that's the idea, which is that minchat nesachim is a valid form of mincha. It's just not one of the minachot nidavot that the Torah prescribes. So if you're saying, I'm going to bring a minchat nidava, then you got to bring a minchat nidava from those five. If you say, I'm going to bring a minchat nesachim, you have the right to bring it, and that's Rava's Kiddush. That's what you learn from the Mishnah. Ein shnai mitnadvim. Two can't be mitnadev a korban mincha. My taima. Ilema mishum dechtiv takriv. If you want to say, because it uses a singular language with regards to the bringing of a korban mincha, which is nefesh ki takriv korban mincha l'Hashem, so that singular language means a single individual can bring it, not multiple people. Then Ola Nami, Hayakhtiv. By the Ola, it says Yakriv, which is also in this singular form. So why don't you say there, no partnerships. Ela Ola Maitaima. So maybe the reason by Ola is because Dikhtiv La Olotechem. Again, in Pashat Pinchas, that says that this comes La Olotechem. Olotechem sounds like you can have multiple or plurality of individuals that are associated with an Ola. In that summary pasuk, it says lolotechem or lemincho-techem. It says both of them there, so that doesn't give you any information. Elamishum dechtiba nefesh. The word nefesh is used by a korban mincha. It says the nefesh pitakriv korban mincha l'Hashem. Why does it use the word nefesh? verses using the word Adam. You could have used Adam ki akriv korban Lashem, which is used by the Olah. Why does it use the word Nefesh instead? So now the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that's supportive of this understanding. Rabbi Omer, she akriv korbano l'chol nidrehem l'chol nidvotam, she akriv l'Hashem, hakol ba'im b'shutfut. Everything comes in partnership. Lo tzleika katuv el mincha. The only thing that's accepted from this pasuk, or this ability to bring a korban as a partner, is mincha, shenemar nefesh. Rabbi brings a pasuk, she akriv korbano l'chol nidrehem l'chol nidvotam, she akrivu l'Hashem. Yakrivu means that you can bring it together. Multiple people can bring it. The only exception is the one that has nefesh written by it, which is a conclusionary term. It says mincha is not allowed or not covered by the yakrivu in the posuk that Rabbi brings. You see, the focus on the word nefesh is what precludes you from bringing a korban mincha b'shutafut. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. B'nei ma nishtanit mincha shenemar bar nefesh. Why is the mincha different that it has the word nefesh written by it? That's what it says. Then we just answer that question. The word nefesh comes to teach you that only individuals can bring menachot and not partners. What do you mean? Why did it change to use nefesh? So that's what it says. Maybe you could have used the word ish. Had you used the word ish, it would have gotten you the same place, which is only an individual, but they didn't need to use nefesh. It's interesting because by Olah it uses the word Adam, and over there we don't say that Adam is a preclusionary term. So Adam is a more generic term. Seems like ish or nefesh is a more particular term and would be exclusionary in nature. You have to differentiate between Adam and ish or Adam and nefesh. So what's so special about nefesh? The beautiful Gadic explanation that's brought by Rashi and Chumash. So you might be familiar with it. Hamagodesh Baruch Hu midar kol avi mincha. Who is the person that normally brings a mincha? That's someone who can't afford to bring a behemah. Someone who can't afford to bring an oath. The lowest korban that they can bring is a mincha. Ani. Shem says, even though he's bringing a mincha, I view it as if he's giving his whole life, donating himself to me. So that is, I think, a duality of meaning, which is that if you think about the Ramban al Torah in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, where he speaks about Adam huva nefesh yichaber, that when the korban, the animal or the bird, is put on the mizbeach, one has to look at it as if their nefesh, it's tmurat their nefesh going on the mizbeach. That's true when you're putting a nefesh on the mizbeach, a behema or a bird on the mizbeach. You're putting a mincha on the mizbeach. Where do you have this tumurata nefesh that's going on the mizbeach? It doesn't exist. That's what Hashem says. I'm going to consider it as if it's a nefesh. That's one way to see it. The other view is the fact that the ani is bringing everything that he can afford to bring. So the idea of a sacrifice is that I'm bringing something that's significant in nature. So for the Ashir, or someone who has more means than an animal, a bird, those are things of significance. And therefore, when they bring them, it's considered to be a donation, a present to Hashem that's of significance. A mincha by itself would not be significant. But for the ani, since it's his nefesh, meaning that this is something that is of significance, this is a big gift for him, Hashem considers it if he is makriv, his nefesh lefanav. So I think you can view it from both of those perspectives. What's being said here about nefesh? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, my nishtanei mincha shnera ba chamisha minei tigun. How come by the mincha, it has five different types of bastings or fryings that are done? Both Rashi and the Tosafot point out that that's not true, because it depends on how you prepare the different minachot. So Rashi and then the Baal Tosafot second, they say that the word tigun doesn't mean that literally it's fried or it's basted with oil, but means anything that comes with oil. Using it in a more generic sense for something that comes with oil. And of course, the shemen is an enhancer along with the levona, and that's why the minchat chote and the minchat sota are minachot charevot, are dry minachot, and that's the unique aspect of the shemen over here. That's why it calls it minei tigun, is an enhancing factor that makes it even nicer or more pleasant to bring it as a reach nichoach l'Hashem. Why do we have five different ones? Mashal lemelech basar badam. So comparable to a parable of a king. Shasalo avo suda. His beloved, someone who was close to the king, wanted to prepare a meal for the king. He's going to host the king. But he knows the person hosting him can't afford to present a royal meal, scrumptious royal meal in front of him. So what does he say to him? Amarlo, asili min chamisha minei tigun kadesha ne mimcha. So instead of asking from him to bring and lay out something that he can't afford or that he can't present, he says to him, why don't you make five different types of fried items? So That way, that's something that the Ani has the capacity to do, but it gives some variety. It makes it look more significant than the presentation. So similarly over here, when it comes to the Menachot, Hashem realizes that the Ani is bringing it, and he wants to present it before the Melech, so he gives him all these different options. Now, it's interesting because the Mashal and the Imshal are not exactly alike. The Mashal is a case where you're going to bring all five of them at once. In the Nimshal, it's not necessarily true in the Torah that the Ani brings all five different types. He can bring one of the five types. But the fact that there's a menu, maybe that's what we're saying. Why is Hashem offering all these different opportunities? It's to make it that the Ani can feel like he has something significant to choose from or an opportunity to present these things before the king. All right, with that, we end the Perek Adon Alach, HaMenochot V'Nisachim. All right, next Perek, next Mishnah, Harei Alai Yisaron. Person says that I'm obligated to bring an Yisaron, Yavi Echad. Then you bring one Yisaron. That's what you said you were going to do, that you bring. We know already that the Mincha, the minimum amount, is an Yisaron. The maximum amount in a single kli is 60 Yisaron. So if he says, I'm going to bring an Yisaron, we take him face value and we say, bring one Yisaron. Esronot, I want to donate Esronot. Harei Alai, I'm obligated to bring Esronot. Yavi Shnayim, you bring two. The minimum of plurality is two. So when he says Esronot, we interpret that to mean two. Peirashti, v'enu de ma peirashti. I set a number. I said I'm going to bring a korban mincha. I obligated myself in a mincha of such and such size. But I forgot what I said. Yavi shishim yisaron. He brings 60 yisaron, which is the largest mincha that he could bring. Subsumed in the largest mincha is any other possible number that he could have thought of. And basically, he'll bring it out tonight and say, whatever is for my neder will be incorporated here. Anything in excess of my neder will be a nedava. And then he brings it as a single korban mincha. But that way he discharges his obligation no matter what. Harei alai mincha. Instead of saying yisaron, he says, I'm going to bring a mincha. Yavi ezo shiyirtzeh. You get to choose. When you say harei mincha, you have the menu of the five, and you get to choose which of those five you want to bring. Rabbi Yehuda omer, yavi mincha tasolet. Shi miyuchedet sheminachot. He brings mincha tasolet because it's the unique of the minachot. We'll see what that means in the Gemara, that it's unique of the minachot. Mincha, if he says harei alai mincha, or min mincha, he says, I have bring one of the types of the minchot, yavi achat. He said it in the singular form, it means bring one mincha. Harei alai minachot, or he says harei alai min minachot, says that I want to bring multiple minachot, or I want to bring multiple types of minachot, yavi shtayim. Again, he used plurality. The minimum of plurality is two, and therefore two will discharge that statement. Now, it's not exactly clear here what it says, shtei minachot, what exactly he has to bring. Rashi says, yavi shtei minachot, mimin echad. He brings two different minachot from the same type, so that you have to keep it consistent within the type, but you bring multiple of the type. Although the Rambam in Mishnah Torah says, shemevi shnei minei minachot, that you have to bring two different types of minachot. And the Achronim argue about both Rashi Shita and the Shita the Rambam. You can see that in the Sfat Emet as to whether they really are exclusive in their statement or they're saying even. You can even bring two menachot of the same type, but you could bring two different, and same thing with the Rambam. Since you bring you two types, you can even bring two different types or two of the same type, and they're really not arguing. Or is there really a difference between what Rashi is saying and that which the Rambam is saying in Mishnah Torah? Peirashti v'eni yodea is a man peirashti. I said I'm going to bring one of the minachot that the Torah prescribes, and I don't remember what I said. Yavi chamishatam, that he's got to bring all five different types to ensure that he discharges obligation. He'll say, whichever one is what I said will discharge my obligation. The rest of them will be nedavot. Peirashti mincha shel esronim. I said I'm going to bring a mincha of esronim. Ben yudea kame peirashti. And I have no idea what I said. Yavi shishim yisaron. Then he says you bring 60 yisaron. This is similar to what we had seen above, where he said, I dedicated esronim, but I don't know which number of esronim I donated. So there he brought 60. Similarly over here. I said I'm going to bring a mincha of esronim. So we say also, yavi shishim yisaron. You bring the biggest possible mincha that could be, which is 60 yisaron. Subsumed in that's got to be the mincha that you had indicated you wanted to bring or obligated yourself to bring. Rabbi Omer, yavi minachot, shel esronot, me'achad ve'ad shishim. You have to bring a mincha from every one of the numbers between 1 and 60. The Gemara on Kufav will tell us that that number is 1,830, which is the equivalent of 60 factorial. 60 plus 1 times 60 divided by 2, or 30 times 61, which is 1,830. And you actually see that in Otei of the Shita Mikubetzet, where he doesn't use the formula that I use, but he hand calculates out that the 60 factorial would equal, I knew, 1,830, extra note that you need to bring in order to discharge your obligation. But it's clear that Rabbi, as opposed to the Tanakama, thinks that kviut mana talya milta, that the kli defines the korban mincha over here. Since the kli defines it, if you bring a 60 isaron in one kli, that's all it is. It's a 60 isaron mincha. It's not a mincha of 25, 25, and 10. It's not a mincha of 30 and 30. It's a mincha of 60, and that's it. So in order to discharge your obligation, you have to bring the number that you said in a singular kli. Because the kli is koveya de mincha. So you bring 60, then you bring a mincha of 60. You're not bringing a mincha of something less plus an indava. You're bringing a mincha of 60. For that reason, you have to bring one of each number in order to discharge your obligation. Shita, the Gemara says, everything said in the Mishnah in the beginning is Shita. When you say, Arei ala Yisaron, you bring one Yisaron, what would you have thought? Like, what is the other option to what he's saying? When it says, Esronot, Yavishtai Mitzrichle. Now we need the second part of the Mishnah. It says, when you say it in plurality of Esronot, then you have to bring two. When it says, Hanami Pshita, Miut Esronot Shtayim. There's nothing to have a suffix about here. The minimum amount you need to bring when you have a plurality is two. So if you said Esronot, then if you do two, you definitely discharge the obligation based on what you articulated. So why is that even a question? Why do I need Mishnah to tell me that information? So now we have an argument, it's Trichale, which makes no sense. You look on the side that Son Kodashim says, Perashti it's Trichale. The next case we need to explain to us, which is Perashti v'en yodea ma Perashti. When he has a case where he defined it and he doesn't know what he did, the fact that you bring one of 60, that's the chiddush of the first part of the Mishnah, and that's information that you might not have otherwise thought he could do, that he can bring one of 60 and then discharge the obligation, no matter what the number was that he had said. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So the first two cases are not chiddushim, you could figure that out yourself. The third case, which the Mishnah brings, which is the importing case. Now, Smar says, Pirashti, Veinu Yadeh Ma Pirashti Avish Shishim Yisaron, Man Tana. Who is the Tana of that first part of the Mishnah? The part that we just said, it's Trichale, that you need to tell me this, that you bring 60 Yisaron. Amar Chizkiya Doloki Rabbi. That's not like Rabbi, who we see later in the Mishnah. Di Rabbi Amar Yavi Menachot Shel Esronot Me'achad Va'ashishim. Rabbi says when you don't know the number, you got to bring a Mincha from 1 to 60, meaning that all 60 variants of the Mincha you got to bring. Be Rabbi Yochan Amar Afilu Teima Rabbi. Even according to Rabbi, you could bring this, Gomer, Pirashti Isronot, of Alo Kivatim Bikli. I said some number of Esaron that I was going to bring, but I did not define them by the Kli, meaning that I didn't say that I had to bring them in a single Kli. The mighty Shitin Isronot, Bishitin Mane. And that way you can discharge the obligation by bringing 60 separate Isronot in 60 Kelim. Since the Kli wasn't the defining factor, then you can bring each Yisaron independently. You just said, I'm going to bring this number of Yisaron. But you didn't define that it had to be together. It wasn't a singular unit. It just meant I had to bring this number of Yisaron as Menachot. So there are two ways to do that. One way to do that is to bring it all together in a Kli. Or the other way to do it is to bring it independently, each Yisaron independently, and then I'll add up to the number that you need to bring. Now for Rabbi, if you brought in a singular kli, you might have a problem because the kli is koveya, the number. So then you can't just bring the biggest number and then say I'm okay. You would have to bring each kli independent. But there's way to deal with that, according to Rabbi, is to bring 60 single unit isaron. And by doing so, then you add up to the isaron that you needed. And since the kli was not defined over here, you're not relegated to bringing it in a singular kli. You can bring it in multiple kelim. But in that way, you could discharge your obligation by simply bringing 60 Yisaron, rather than trying to bring from 1 to 60, which would then be Rabbi's requirement if you're going to aggregate it into a single kli. Rabbi says that when you put it in a kli, the kli defines the unit. So then, if you set a certain number of Yisaron, and then you bring, say you said 25, and you bring a kli with 26, that doesn't mean that you brought your 25 according to Rabbi Akiva, because you brought a kli with 26. But since you didn't define that it had to be brought in a single kli, the solution for Rabbi is to bring 25 of them in 25 separate kelim. But if you bring 26, it still will be okay, because you got your 25 in there, because each one is an independent unit, and that's fine, because you didn't define after you brought a single kli. But if you bring them in a single kli, it defines the units, and then you don't have the ability then to say, if I brought 26, it's equal to 25. The person says, I'm obligated to bring a mincha. You get to choose from the menu. 5 menachot, bring whatever one you want. Rabbi Yehuda said, you have to bring it from minchat solet. Tana, hol patach bo katub tchila. The pasuk started with it. That's why you have to bring minchat solet. In Vayikra Bet, when it speaks about the menachot, the first of the menachot, nidava, is a minchat solet. So what he's saying is, if you just donate generically a mincha, you got to bring the one that is written first in the pasuk, because we'd assume that's the primary form of minchat nidava. Elmiata, if that's the case, haramer amare alayola yavim ben bakar. Person says, I'm going to obligate myself to bring an olah, then you should have to bring a cattle. Because the parshiot of olah break down bakar, then it goes to tzon, and in tzon it says keves and then eis. So the first parshia by the olah is bakar. So you tell me generically you're going to bring an olah, you should have to bring a bakar, because that's the first one that's written there. That's the first olah that's mentioned. You say I'm going to bring harei olah min tzon, I'm going to bring it from the flock animals, you mean keves. Because that's the first of the tzon that is mentioned. First the keves, then an eis. Or minaof. You say I'm going to bring an olah minaof. Yavi torim. Ho patach bo katuv tchila. Because it mentions the torim before the bnei yonah. So all of these cases maybe should be bound by that which is written first in the psukim. If that's the logic behind the mincha here, you extrapolate that logic. How come we don't say the same thing by olot? Alamotznan. Why do we have a mishnah that tells us Hare alai olah, yavi keves. If you say I'm going to bring an olah, the generic olah is a keves. That goes against what we just said. If you think that it's the opening pasuk, then bakar should be the generic. Generic olah, according to the Mishnah coming up on Kuf Zayin, is that it is keves. The default olah is birds. Forget about animals, it's birds. So both of those go against the idea that bakar is going to be your primary choice. Below polig Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue on that mission over there. We don't find Rabbi Yehuda saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or to the Tanakhama, you're wrong, it should be Bakar. Ho patach bo katuv. That's the reason by Rabbi Yehuda here, he should be arguing that mission as well. Ela, ma miyukhedet sheminachot. So then why is minchat solet considered to be the unique amongst the minachot? The lepe shem levai. Because it does not have an accompanying name. It's a noun that stands by itself. It's not a noun phrase. A minchat machavat, a minchat marcheshet, a minchat mafetanur chalot, minchat mafetanur rikikim. All of those minachot are defined by the type of kli that's used, the way that it's made. You can't just simply say mincha. You say mincha with some other descriptor that comes along with it that gives you a noun phrase that is the mincha that you are bringing. Mincha, when you say it independently, the only mincha that I can describe is a minchat solet. Because a minchat solet doesn't need a descriptor, even though as I'm speaking, I'm saying that it's a minchat solet. That's to differentiate it from the other minachot. But what Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out is that if you just say mincha, the only one that fits that billing is minchat solet. It's the only one you can call mincha without adding any other descriptor after it. And that's why it is miyuchedet sheminachot, leit l'shem levai. Vahatana. What are you going to do with the braita that says, ho patach bo katuv tchila kamar? It says the reason that it is because the pasuk opened up. I mean, the psukim by menachot opened up with it. What are you going to do with that? Ezo mincha miyuchedet sheminachot, delet leishem levai. It's explanatory. What is the mincha that is unique in the menachot that doesn't have a accompanying name, a nickname that comes along with it? Zo shepatach bo katuv tchila. That is the one which the Torah opened up with it. That is the Minchat Solet. Where it says, Pshita, Minchat Solet, Kamar. Wait a minute. Why do you have to tell me that? The Mishnah says, I'll read you the Mishnah in Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yavim Minchat HaSolet, Shein Miyuchedet Sheminachot. You have to bring a Minchat Solet because it is the Miyuchedet Sheminachot. So now, the way that you're reading it is, what is Miyuchedet Sheminachot? The one that the Torah started to speak about. as if you need to hint to me and tell me that it's a minchat solet. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says explicitly, I mean minchat solet. You don't need whole patach bo kadatub tchila to teach me which mincha he's speaking about. It's explicit in the Mishnah that he's speaking about a minchat solet. Ela simona ba'almo. It's just a memory aid. It's a way to remember what Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about. You can see that both in Rashi and the Baal Tosafot. Says the girsa shlotit eh. So you don't make a mistake. Shlotishkach be'ezim mincha ma Rabbi Yehuda. How do you remember which one Rabbi Yehuda said? We know he said minchat solet, but how do you remember that? What's the memory aid for that? You have to, with using this reasoning, you'll remember it. Ah, hold patach v'akatu. The one where Rabbi Yehuda argues is the one the psukim begin with. The first of the menachot, that's Rabbi Yehuda's view. Not to tell you that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda. That's not even explanation for Rabbi Yehuda. It's simply a memory aid that says, the one that Rabbi Yehuda says is the one that the pasuk opened with. So if you forget which one Rabbi Yehuda says is the miyuchedet sheminachot, just remember that he was the one who said that it's the first one that's written there, and that'll make it easier for you to remember that information. All right, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Kufei Amud Aleph.